go to Revelations. Now all of you think I'm rebellious. I'm not rebellious, but I ain't going to. Revelations, the first chapter. And we're going to go through this, start tonight. We started some time ago, a year or two ago, and we got so far and we got sidetracked. We're going to try to go through this the next, ever how long it takes. The book of Revelations and however it, the different streams that it might take us on Wednesday nights and Sunday afternoons for a while. Of course, we'll have some periods there. We may not touch it, but we're going to go try to do our best to go through this whole thing. Now, we understand that Jesus is coming soon, and we don't talk about it enough because the church has lost focus. The church has lost focus of the fact that we're living for Christ and we're living for that day that He comes again. And we've forgotten that we have the Bible calls it a blessed hope. That's our hope in living for God, is that one day Jesus is coming for the church. And so we want to talk about Revelations. I'm going to use the Jack Van Impe Prophecy Bible. That's where I'll get most of my commentary. There'll be times I'll go a different place. But tonight, I'm going to use that as my jumping off place, or starting place with Jack Van Impe. Very knowledgeable man. He's up in his 80s now. He has practically the whole Bible memorized. He can quote scripture after scripture after scripture. He knows about end-time prophecy. Now, he's just like all of them. I have a friend, Sherlock Bally, I call him a friend. I guess he's a friend. He drank my Coke one time, so that made him a friend. But there's a whole story there. He also asked me. Me and my brother had the same daddy, so he's bold enough. I think that same night he took my Coke and took a sip out of it. He's lucky I didn't knock him back to Trinidad that night. Because he questioned my mama's morals and drank my Dr. Pepper. I mean, you know, I didn't bother me about question my mama's morals, but he drank my Dr. Pepper. Anyway, well, what I was going to say about that, any prophecy preacher over the last 25, 30 years, because of the way the times have happened and things that are going on, they've had to change some of their thinking because they've seen things come. They also have seen things they prophesied or said was in the Bible come to pass. But they've also some things that, because of the way history has progressed, they've seen, oh, okay, I was wrong about who that was. It's going to be this because they've seen it, the time shifting, and they're seeing, you know, the turmoil and things going on in the Middle East and different countries rising up, and they're seeing prophecy being fulfilled in their eyes, and so they have to change a few of the things that they say over the years. You understand? They're not. Because, you know, it's biblical scripture, but they're trying to divide it rightly. But the book of Revelation is the culmination of all prophecy, and the point of which are the prophecy of all ages converge and find their ultimate fulfillment is in the book of Revelations. And it discloses the future of the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad tonight that we are considered a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, been saved, we used to talk about getting saved. Now people don't even know what that means. But we got saved. And if you're a part of that blood-washed group of people that accepted Christ as your Savior, you've repented of your sins, you're a part of the church of Jesus Christ. If you haven't repented of your sins, you're not. Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't let anybody tell you that you are. If you haven't been born again or saved, and that's by accepting what Christ did on Calvary, repenting of your sins, beginning to serve Him, you're not a Christian, and you're not a part of the church. You may go to church, but you're not a part of the church. Okay, you may be sitting here tonight, and you've never been saved. You ain't a part of the church. You're just not. It's just scriptural. And so I want you to understand that. This is what some of the things we're going to talk about, the future of the church, is for the church. It's for those who have been saved. It's not for just everybody. It's for the saved. And we're going to talk about in Revelation things that goes on. The people that aren't saved, what's going to happen to them? I don't want to be a part of them. I want to be a part of us. And so anyway, so we know that. So there's going, Jesus is going to come back one of these days. There's specific details in the book of Revelation about the coming of Jesus. He's going to come back for this, for us. He's going to establish his millennial reign. And finally, the eternal state of the saved and the lost will be established forever and forever. And there's an eternal state we're going to go into one of these days, eternity. And that's forever. It's not for just a little while. It's forever. And our finite minds cannot comprehend forever. We just can't do it. But it's going to be forever. I can't comprehend that. I mean, maybe you're more intellectual than I am. I don't think anybody can really comprehend what forever is. Joyce Meyer said this. I've heard her say it before, and she said it today, or I think it's today. She lives for God. No, you were living for God. She says, and there's a lot of people who say they're atheist, you know, and she couldn't understand why people could be an atheist. She said, but just lay it down like this. Say the end of time comes, or the end of your life comes. He said, I'm a Christian, and I'm wrong. There's no God. All this was for nothing. I haven't lost anything. However, if you say you're an atheist and there's no God, and the end of time comes and you find out you were wrong, you've lost everything. That's something to think about, isn't it? And nature and everything speaks that there's a God, though. How can, and even people who say they don't believe in God use his name. And they'll tell you and I, if they get mad at you, to go someplace, which begins with an L, they'll tell you to go to hell. Well, if you don't believe in God, how can you believe in a hell? If there's no God, there's no hell. So how can you tell me to go there if you don't believe in God? You know? So anyway, so this word revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypse, y'all know the word, meaning an uncovering or an unveiling. It's an uncovering. So revelation means we're going to unveil the future. We're going to show you the future. And so it's known that way, and it reflects the fact that God has made known to mankind those eternal supernatural truths and realities which no man on his own can never realize or discover. And so this is the final work of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to read it prayerfully and let God reveal to you some things. And it details world history from the time of John, the early church age, to eternity, right into the end. And so we're going to talk about it tonight. Simply stated, the book of Revelation is history in advance. It's written in advance. It's telling you what's going to go on in advance. And they form God's description of future facts and events. And it's trustworthy because God is omnipotent. God knows everything. He's an all-knowing God. And whether he knows things, whether they are actual or merely possible, he knows them all perfectly and all through eternity. Acts 15:18 states, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God already knows what's going to happen way out there, hundreds of years from now. God already knows. We don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. We think we do. We don't necessarily know what's going to happen tomorrow. Everything changes. I mean, I was sleeping good yesterday morning. I got a phone call 4:30 in the morning. Well, that's, so, well, you ought to be up already then, by then, preacher. Well, no, not really. No need to get up 4:30 if you don't have to. It's my son. He's going to work. I was like, why in the world did you call me? There's a cow out. Dad, I think you got a calf out. I said, son, where's it at? He said, well, it's up north of my house. I said, that ain't my cow. Did it have an ear tag? I couldn't tell. I said, still, it ain't mine. My fences are better than that. That's the neighbor's cow. I'm going back to sleep. It wasn't mine. I knew it wasn't. Because the other night we was sitting there and a guy come and knocked on the door, sir, you got a cow out. Well, no, I don't think so. Why? It's a red calf and you have red calves. Oh, yeah. Went down and it already got back in on the neighbors. My fences are good. The whole point is you don't know what's going to happen. You could get woke up in the middle of the night. I get woke up every now and then somebody calls me. You know, I have to run to the mercy room. You know, I don't know. When I lay down at night, I don't know. Well, none of us know the future, but God does. That's my whole point, the whole thing. We don't know what's going to go on. And so, anyway, there's a lot of people who prefer not to have prophecy revealed to them because they'd rather live by the world standards and the rewards in this life, you know, and the standards that the world dictates to them. They want to live like they want to live, and they don't want. But if you really believe revelation, you really believe the Word of God, it'll change your thinking. It'll change the way you live if you really believe it. And I think I'm afraid that the church as a whole has forgotten, as I said earlier, about the coming of the Lord, and we've gotten comfortable, and we've kind of gotten to a routine, and our worship is routine, our church services are just routine. We just want to come do it because we love God, but we don't want anything more than just our routine. We've lost sight of the fact that we're going someplace. And so our worship becomes a little bit dull. Well, what are you talking about? Well, because if we don't put our whole heart into it, we don't really worship God. It becomes just a little bit mundane and dull. It's like, let's get this over with so we can get some preaching. We go eat. We can just get it all over with. We've done our job. We've done what we need to do because we've come to church. Well, church, it should be more than that. We should long for a relationship with Christ and an intimate relationship with Him. And if we really love Him, we'll want to do what His Word says, but we'll also want long to go see Him, actually get to see Him personally. I was thinking the other day about going to heaven and who would greet me there, and I thought, well, I know my dad's going to be there. I mean, he's going to greet me. He's going to be the first person I see. That's who I really, you know. And I thought, well, Grandpa will be there. And I really went there. I thought, well, wait a minute, Grandma's there. You know, my Grandpa Davis, they was really close to me, and stayed with them a lot when I was a kid, and so they're going to be there to meet me. And then it's like, wait a minute, I got Don up there, and I got Brother and Sister Cochran up there. I got to think, wow, there might be a lot of people want to see me. Then again, they may all be on the backside over there saying, Lord, don't tell him where we're at. I don't know. But I got to thinking about that, because first of all, well, this is who I want to see, and I got to thinking, wow, there's a lot of people that I want to see when I get there. We'll have plenty of time, of course, but I don't know if you ever think about that stuff or not. I was just thinking about it, like, wow. Because I was thinking this, I was trying to think of this to who I really want to see, and I was like, well, wait a minute. There's a lot of people up there I want to see. There's a few I want to see if they're there. I wish that I could already see if they were there, so then I know anybody, because if they're there, anybody can be there, you know. Have you ever thought that stuff? Y'all don't think like that, do you? That's only me. Let's talk about revelations for a little bit. But Jesus is coming, and we need to be excited about it. Don't you believe that? We should be excited about it. Verse 1, Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. We immediately recognize that the noun is revelation, singular, not revelations. It's revelation. And this term comes from the Greek word there's that big word again. That word means an unveiling or an uncovering, and is often used in the epistle as a manifestation or a coming or a revealing, or an appearing. So Christ is coming again. He's going to be revealed. He's going to be a manifestation. He's coming again. There's going to be a revealing. So the book of Revelation then concerns the unveiling or appearing of our precious Savior. This is what this is all about. This book is to reveal that our Savior is coming. And we're going to see Him. One of these days. It's not the unfolding story of Saint John, of John the Divine, or even a prophetical truth, but rather the message of the appearing of Jesus. That's exciting, isn't it? That Jesus is coming soon. And this appearing takes place at the rapture. Some people don't believe in that. I believe in the rapture. The resurrection of the saints, and chapter 4, verse 1 talks about that. I want to turn over there just briefly and read that to you. Chapter 4, verse 1. And, well, can't find it. It's on the wrong page. Do you have it there, Willene? I'm at verse 10. I can't find verse 1. I've got study scripture here, so I'm having trouble finding my scripture in the middle. There it is. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. I found it. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And what do we hear in 1 Thessalonians? What's it say? And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. So the rapture is the literal, visible, bodily coming of Jesus Christ to call out of this world, literally and bodily, every born again believer. That's what we are living for. That's what we are longing for, is that literal catching away of our bodies to be with the Lord forever. Some people have different philosophies about. There's pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. There's some of you sitting here today, you've got different viewpoints of it. I'm pre-tribulation. I believe the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation begins. You say, well, the scripture said in this life we'll all have tribulations. Yes, it does. That doesn't mean the tribulation that's going to come upon this earth after the church is gone. That means in this life you have trouble. We're all going to have difficulties in this life, every single one of us. You're going to face trials and tribulations while you're here. But that is not the tribulation nor the great tribulation that's going to come upon this earth after the church is gone. You may think it is, and that's fine. You can have your opinion, but I believe the church is going to be out of here. And this is how I define that or explain that oftentimes. When I went to get married, I courted this young lady over here for 4 years. When I was courting her, and not since, by the way, either, I treated her kindly. I opened doors for her. I don't do that much anymore. Usually I say stay 5 steps behind, mind yourself. No, I don't do that. But I opened door, I took her out, I took her to eat, I took her to movie shows. I was kind to her. I courted her. I wanted her to like me. I wanted her to love me. I wanted her to stay with me. I didn't beat her up. I didn't slap her around. I didn't talk ugly to her. And I do not believe that Jesus Christ, who is our bridegroom, prior to our marriage to him as the church, is going to beat the daylights out of the church before he raptures them and takes them to the wedding supper. I don't believe that. Would you want to go to heaven or would you want to get married to a guy that beats you up all the time? I know some women have done that. I understand that. If you had to do over again, you wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't marry that dude. You know, but I just don't believe Jesus is going to beat the church up before he raptures us out of here. That wouldn't make me want to go. If he's mean to me all the time and says, well, I'm going to take you to heaven one day, then it'll be good. Wait a minute, Lord. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone right now. That's in the old Jewish history, in the way they used to do it, that they would become betrothed, and then that man would go back to his home, and that girl he was betrothed to, they were considered engaged, spoken for. They were, in the eyes of their families, they were married, but yet they hadn't come together yet. He would go back and prepare a place for her to live. It may be a room in their house, the family home. Or it may be a separate place, but he would go prepare a place for her and make ready for her to come live with him. And once it was prepared, then they would say the wet, and they'd prepare the supper, and then he would go get her. There's a picture of the 10 wise, the 5 wise and 10, 5 foolish virgins. They was calling them to a wedding supper. Some of them were ready, some of them were not. But they were, the wedding, all of a sudden, everything was prepared. The bridegroom had prepared everything for the marriage, and the time was now. And then they would go to a celebration. And they would feast, and they would dance, and then they would dismiss the wedding couple to their wedding honeymoon tent. So you understand what I'm saying is that we are getting ready for the wedding supper, for our bridal reception. And he ain't going to beat you up before you get there, and he's not going to beat you up after you get there. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you're going to go there. And I believe you're going to be raptured out of here. Okay? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for that? And so he said this. In Revelations, we see secondly, in this revelation is given to Jesus Christ, as is everything. For Jesus said in Matthew 11:27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. So they are presented unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And I won't get very far tonight because we're running out of time. But anyway, I want to understand this. So this term shortly in the original means rapidly of action once there is a beginning. Once it starts, it's going to be just bam, bam, bam. It's just going to happen just very, very quickly. And this certainly pictures this present hour when signs are pointing to his return and are beginning to appear with alarming frequency. Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, North Korea is beating the war drum right now. And our president is rattling his saber right back at them. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few months, worldwide, war-wise. We have no clue. But we see wars and hear of wars and rumors of wars. Famine. In Africa, there's people still starving to death. In our history, people are starving to death. There's enough food to feed the whole world, and we ship it to some of these foreign lands, and the leadership, the rebels, get a hold of it and withhold it from the people, and they're starving to death because of the political maneuvering in our nations. We see that. Earthquakes in different places. Who would have thought just a short, even 10 years ago, there'd be such an increase in earthquakes in Oklahoma that buildings would crumble and fall. We would never dream that. I love living in Oklahoma. At least if a tornado comes, you know it's coming. Now, all of a sudden, you hear a rumble at bedtime, and you say, what is that noise? And all of a sudden, and I was like, good grief. That first time that one hit, that scared me. I thought, surely Jesus is coming. And then he didn't. But there's earthquakes in all different places. All kinds of natural disasters. Tornadoes. Floods. Pestilences. We could go way back 25 years ago, the AIDS epidemic. And other epidemics, they're worried now about different strains of bacteria that could get loose in our nation, in our nation, and destroy thousands and kill thousands upon thousands of people. Bacteria resistant, or penicillin resistant bacterias. We're hearing of that daily. This world is in turmoil. What's that tell us? Jesus is coming soon. And you need to remember that. And so we know that. These truths are sent and signified by Christ's angel unto John, the writer of the book, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Notice that the first four letters of the word signified spell sign. Why? The book of Revelation is a study of signs. There's a sign of the Holy Spirit presented as seven spirits in verse 4. I won't go there tonight. And then the sign of the seven golden candlesticks and seven stars in verse 20 of chapter 1. Thus, through signs, we come to an understanding of this gloriously revealed portion of Scripture. Some say Revelation doesn't really matter. I mean, it may not matter, but that it's written in, metaphors, or not necessarily metaphors, not the word I'm looking for, but in other words, you know, it's just there, and you have to try to, it's interpretable. They say you can't interpret it, literally interpret it, but you can. You really can. So, and in verse 2, it says, John, bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. That's self-explanatory. John's going to give record of everything he saw in the Spirit on that day. While he was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw these things. And in verse 3, it said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. And I'll stop right there so we can pray tonight. And we'll start it up again, verse chapter 1, verse 3, Sunday afternoon, Lord willing. You write that down, so... All right. Well, I can write it down too, but we'll start there. So I encourage you to read chapter 1. If you don't read any more of it, read chapter 1. And we'll go through it verse by verse and see where it takes us to. We need to understand the book of Revelations as best we can. Now, I'm not a prophecy preacher, so I'm going to have to rely upon the people that are. Okay? And I got other books I can glean from. And also just my personal reading of the Bible and studying the Word of God. There's all kinds of people that have a whole lot more knowledge than I do. I can use John MacArthur's works. I can bring Dr. Clark from Houston, Texas's works. Jack Van Impe, John Hagee. There's just all kinds of people that know a whole lot more about it than I do. And we can find out what it means from these biblical scholars. And that's what we're going to try to do in the next few weeks. Amen. I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll look forward to hearing it and learning about the coming of the Lord and some things that's going to happen.